Look, it definitely wasn't a poo. It was probably, I could only describe it, I was weighing out of my bum.
Welcome to One Night in Bangkok. I'm Sav.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm MJ.
And together, we're bringing you the crazy travel stories from around the world that never made it into the guidebooks.
Cabin crew, prepare for takeoff.
It's time for Ticket to Tell, where we give you a boarding pass to have a shot on the mic. Each week, we'll ask a question and share our favourite answers.
What's the most awkward place you have vomited or shat yourself?
So, was in Turkey, got a bit of first night fever at the hostel, had a few bevvies. The next day, me and my friends thought it was a really good idea to go see the sights of Turkey, as you do. Thought we'd go see the Blue Mosque. You have to hire headscarves to go in, so we're doing that. I'm like, oh no, I've got a sweaty mouth, like, please no, please don't make this happen. Called a prayer, started going on, so I'm in my headscarf. And they give you like these plastic bags for your shoes because you take shoes off. I'm like, fuck. And I just vomited in the plastic bag as all the people were going inside the mosque to pray. My friend was just rubbing my back, telling people,
you ate a lot of that weird chicken.
Okay, so this didn't happen to me. I didn't shit myself or vomit anywhere. But I was on stage working in Asia, and the Chinese guests are a different sort of human beings. They are obsessed with watching the Westerners perform. And we were on a smaller ship, so not everybody could see the shows all the time. And they were so obsessed with seeing us that one time we were on stage and we watched this lady who refused to get out of her seat. She like refused. She knew, because there were people like standing at the door waiting, that if she was going to leave, somebody was going to take her seat. And we were watching this lady and she was just like, I'm not leaving. And people were like about to get up and like take her seat. And we watched her take a shit in the seat. Oh, I just remember being on stage watching it going, what the fuck is going on? She literally shat herself in the seat. I remember we were all on stage going, is this really happening? Like, we could see it. Like, and we could smell it. It was awful. Anyway, after the show, obviously, like, some of the, like, cleaning crew and hospitality staff have to come through and clean the theater anyway. And they saw, like, these, like, brown, like, stuff on this lady's seat. And we were like, oh my God, like, she actually shat in the seat. Because she didn't want to get up and lose her seat. Like, it was just, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before in my entire life. Oh my God, it was, oh my God, we're thinking about it again. Just makes me feel so uncomfortable. Because obviously we had to keep going on stage. Like, we were like, we couldn't stop the show. So yeah, it was crazy times back in Asia. Oh wow.
No! No!
Look away! Look away!
Well, you're really doing it, aren't you? You're just shitting in the street.
So, grab your boarding pass and you too can get involved. Head to our Instagram at One Night in BKK Podcast. Slide into our DMs and send us a voice note of your answer to this question, and you might feature in a future episode.
Hello, ladies. Welcome back to One Night in Bangkok.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
This week we're talking about shit, literally shit and sick.
That's it, isn't it? Like, that's actually what we're talking about. We're actually talking about shit and sick. And to be honest, like, anyone that's done traveling, it's like one of those ones where when it's we decided inevitable to do the podcast, we were like, that's obviously an episode because shit and sick stories just come up so often.
I'm going to correct you there, because actually what happened was one of our guests this week, he's on this episode, Joel, he told us this story and it was so good. We were like, what can we use this for? And that was way back when. And from that, this idea of just capturing people's shit stories literally has grown from there. So
yeah, absolutely. I've literally been sick in every single place I've been to. Every place. It's that's like horrendous. Like, I've just accepted it now, though. I'm like, okay, when I go traveling, like, there's going to be at least one day where I'm just going to be vomiting. Like, I'm going to vomit at some point. It's just part of life now.
Tell us about your best one, MJ. What's one of your sick stories?
Oh, God. I'd have to say the most embarrassing one for me was when I was in Bali with my family. I was about 10 or 11 at the time, and I was really obsessed with milkshakes. Like, I don't know why. I was just loved them. So I think I'd had 4 milkshakes that day.
Oh, that makes me feel ill just thinking about it.
If you think back to when I was about 10, like, Bali wasn't what Bali is now. Like, the milk in Bali is not like normal milk. It kind of has a bit of a yellow tinge to it. Like, it's not like, ew. Not. Yeah, exactly. Ew. I drank 4 of them. So anyway, we were out for dinner and I ordered another milkshake at dinner.
Oh.
And I think I'd had the milkshake and I was eating dinner and I just, like, a wave of sickness just came over me and I was like, oh my God, I just feel really sick. And I just remember sitting at the table and everyone's eating their food and, like, talking, and I've just gone pale in the face. And I was, like, trying to talk myself out of being sick because I was like, I don't want to be sick. Like, I'll be fine. Like, just kind of talk yourself off the ledge. And I just remember getting to the point where I was like, nah, like, I can't talk myself down. Like, I just have to go and be sick. So as I stood up, I couldn't even control it at all. I just projectile vomited in the middle of this busy restaurant in front of all these people eating, and it was just it was so
yellow bad. Milk.
And it was, yeah, I was, it was like a milky spew. It was massive though, because, like, you could just imagine, like, I'd, at this point, like, the milkshake that I had at dinner was the 5th milkshake I'd had that day. So
<That's> disgusting.
That's like a liter of milk, if not more. Like, oh my God. So I've literally just projectiled. It could not get out of my mouth quick enough. And it's just, like, sprayed. And, like, and the thing was, this restaurant, the floor is all white tiles. So it's just, like, splashed onto, like, this chocolate milk onto the white tiles, and it's gone everywhere. And the thing was, like, I don't know with you guys, but once you start vomiting, you can't really stop. So, well,
not
it wasn't
when you've
like
had
just
5 milkshakes.
It was like the floodgates had opened and there was no stopping now. And because that's where I'd chosen to vomit, I just had to keep standing there at the end of the table in this busy restaurant. My mum stands up and she's like, MJ, stop. And I was like, what do you mean stop? I can't help it. It's not like I'm doing this on purpose for a laugh. Like, yeah, rude. It's like, could you come over here and, like, maybe help me? Hold my hair back? I don't know. Like, Jesus Christ. So anyway, what ended up happening was the lady that owned the restaurant, she was an Australian lady, she came over and helped me. She was like, come on. She's like, come on, dear, and, like, took me, like, around into the bathroom, because by this point, like, I just started crying because I was so embarrassed. Fair and I just vomited in front of, like, at least 30 or so people eating dinner. I'm like, this is fucked up. Anyway, so she takes me around to the back and, like, put me in front of a fan, gave me a face washer and gave me some water. And then when I came back to the table eventually, my mum grilled me. She's like, no more milkshakes for you. She's like, that's ridiculous. You've had 5 milkshakes today. No wonder why you're sick. And just started grilling me. I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, I've obviously learned my lesson. I'm the shell of a human being right now. I've just vomited, like, for at least 20 minutes. Leave me alone. I've learned my lesson. What about you, ladies?
Well, before we sat down today, I thought I knew what story I was going to tell. But your story just reminded me of this one where we were in Fiji and there was a group of us 5 girls. And I've talked about this before with DJ Saki. We were there for 7 nights, and about night 4 or 5, one of the girls just got really sick, like, left dinner early. And we were, and at the time I remember thinking, like, oh, like, she's probably just eating something, whatever, she'll be fine. But then slowly and surely, 4 out of 5 of us got knocked down. It was the sickest we've ever been, like, out both ends. There were 2 bathrooms in our accommodation and both of them were crime scenes, just splatters everywhere from, like, buckets overflowing. Like, we like had to use bowls because all the buckets had been used.
Oh my God.
I'm picturing bridesmaids. Like, you know, the like, yeah, bridesmaids.
Yeah. That's
like,
exactly what it was like. It was, the weirdest part was that there was this one girl, Alex, who didn't get sick. And we'd all done the same things and eaten the same things. And she just magically never got ill. It was so weird. She's like a witch.
I know. I was going to say, anyway, I feel like she's got some sort of superhero. Like,
yeah, it was weird. But actually, I am still going to tell this other story.
Please, please.
Just want to dub my sister in. So when my sister was 15, I took her to Japan for like 10, 12 days, whatever it was, sister of the year. But anyway.
Unreal. Yeah. Incredible.
It's actually because when she was little, like 3 or 4, I was like, she was obsessed with just Japanese culture and the food and the language and the pop stars and all of it. And I said,
what an amazing 3 or 4 year old. Like, that is, I love
that. Yeah, she was obsessed from a young age.
She's like, so educated, like loving Japanese food at 3 years old.
K-pop. No, she's always been obsessed with sushi, still is to this day. Anyway, so I promised her when she was tiny, like maybe 3, 4, 5, something. I said, oh, one day I'll take you to Japan. Little bitch never forgot it. And so when she started to get older, she was like, when are we going? When are we going? When are we going, sissy? And eventually I had to just be like, fine, we're going to Japan. Anyway, that's beside the point. So we landed the airport in Japan. The other reason that it was not really, we weren't really feeling great is because it was on the back of a work conference in Cairns. So that same day I flew from like Cairns, Melbourne, Tokyo. It was like, ugh. Anyway, that's beside the point. We arrive in Tokyo airport and my sister's 15, right? But she lands and she's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, well, look, why don't we get the train into the city and then we'll find somewhere to eat and whatever. She's, and you know, typical teenager. No, but I want food now. I was like, fine. So we walk around the airport and eventually we find this like little kind of, what are those little eateries called in Japan? Like, it's like holes in the wall, basically. It was like an airport version of that. And she sat down. I wasn't eating, but she insisted on having sushi. And I asked them. She actually spoke a bit of Japanese, so I can't remember. I think she asked them, how spicy is this? And they're like, no, it's fine. It's not that spicy, whatever. So she orders, like, this, like, sushi roll. Quite innocuous, I would have thought. Anyway, so we eat it, we pay, and then we go back and we had to exchange some cash. So we're lining up in the queue for this, like, Travelex, like, equivalent in Japan. And all of a sudden my sister's looked at me, like tugged my top, and I like looked down at her. I'm like, what? She just looked at me like with fear in her eyes and her cheeks are full. And I was like,
oh no.
I was like, what's wrong with you? She was like, she fell. I was like, oh no.
Oh no.
So I run to the front of the queue. Like, I don't speak Japanese. Like, run to the front of the queue and be like, bag, like need bag. Girl, sick. It's like miming out what I need. In the meantime, the vomit's gone from her cheeks into her hand. So she's cupped her little hands in front of her. It's covered in this like clear vomit. You can see the seaweed from the sushi roll. And she's just standing there cupping her little hands, like trying to waddle towards the guy with the bag. And, you know, if you've been to Japan, you would know they're all just so calm and they're not about scenes. Like, you don't want to cause a scene in Japan. It's just not like, it's not the done thing. And they're all just very like,
very private.
They were very uncomfortable with this whole thing. I can't remember what happened in the end, but she literally had a cup of vomit. I think she ended up having to like tissue it off her hands with a box of tissues, and then they wanted to like take her temperature and stuff. And I was like, quick, let's go. We've got to go. Like, you need to be locked up away from humanity. Like, we'd been in Japan 15 minutes.
They're
going
to kick us out of Japan. Like, who wanted to take her temperature? I find that bit really weird.
They freaked out. They were like, you need doctor, ma'am? You need doctor? We take temperature. It's like before the days of Corona. It's a long time ago. I was like, no, we're good. I was like, come on, we've got to go. You little sicky, let's just get out of here.
I was like, scram.
Yeah, scram, beat it. Anyway, shout out to little Pinchy. What about you, Charlie?
So mine was well and truly self-inflicted. I was traveling from Cambodia to Vietnam, and the night before it was a massive party. The whole tour group went crazy, got absolutely wasted, like just stupid, thinking like, oh, it's just a travel day tomorrow, like it'll be fine, I can just sleep on the bus, like it's all good, don't worry about it. Took it way too far. Anyway, it was a local bus. It wasn't like the tour group bus, so it was a local bus. So the tour was taken onto this local bus, and I get onto the bus, and the bus is for about 8 hours. by memory. And I get in this bus and I sat at the front and I was like, I felt awful. I'd been like sick all morning. Like it wasn't good. Sat at the front of the bus and I was like, as long as I can see the front, like that'll help. Like I'll be good. Right. Cool. Let me paint the picture of this local bus. Like there's no aircon. It's fucking, I'm sweating bullets. It's like the humidity is at like 100%. There's fucking people everywhere. Like the idea of me, quote unquote, sleeping and relaxing on this bus is completely not at all what that bus looks like. That bus was fucked, I'll tell you that. So anyway, I'm like, the longer I'm sitting in that seat and I'm sweating more and more, I'm like, this is bad. This isn't good. Like, I'm going to have to enjoy this for the long run. But I was like, not only that, I'm actually going to physically be sick. And so the good thing is it did have a toilet on the bus because it was quite like a long journey. And so there's this like little tiny room at the back of the bus. It's just like, it was fucking disgusting. Like I don't even know how to like paint this picture. It was really, really, really bad and dirty. Like I can't. Anyway, so I get into this little toilet room and I didn't come out for 8 hours. The bus was fucking on a bumpy road. So I'm sitting in there. Also as well, there was a latch on the door, but the door wouldn't shut properly, like, because it was so bumpy, the latch kept coming off and the door would fly open and I'd be exposed to everyone. It got to the point where I was vomiting so much. I was just drinking, you know, like, I'm not proud of it, but you know when you're that sick and you're, like, drinking water because you can't stop being sick. So, like, I was just in there sculling water then being sick. It got to the point where people, if they needed to go to the toilet, they had to knock on the door to let me out and I would come out for 5 minutes, let them go to the toilet, and then I'd re-enter my little room. There was no windows in there, so you could only imagine if it's hot. If I think I'm sitting at the front of the bus and I think it's hot up there, fucking try being in the back in that fucking tiny little room. I was sitting on the floor. I was like, I don't know how many germs are here. Like, I just didn't even care. I remember this is so bad. At one point, I put my head on the toilet seat because I was like, that is fucked up. Anyway, so there is a nice moment. We stopped for lunch and we just crossed the border and it's our first Vietnamese meal. And I'd been talking about how I wanted to eat the Vietnamese food so bad because obviously, shout out, best food ever, love it. So anyway, we get to this restaurant. I'm so ill that we go upstairs to this place and then they're like, do you have like a bed for this woman? Like this woman's literally dead. I couldn't even sit at the table and have the meal. So then they find me this room. This was so weird as well. There was this room with a mattress on the floor. I was like, I'm not sure about what happens in this room, but I fucking need it. So I went into that room and I just had to lay on the bed and there was an aircon and I was just laying there like fucking dead, the aircon on me. And then they had to come in and take me out when lunch was done and I had to get back on that bus and go back in the room.
Oh my God. And you've learnt nothing.
Up there with one of the worst days of my life. Yeah, it would. It really would.
I could just picture you in that toilet and then like just going over a bump and then the door swinging open and then you just being like shook in there. Everyone's looking at you. You're sweating. Sweating everywhere.
I was crying.
Scrambling to try and close the door.
I was crying as well.
So dramatic.
I remember, crying and physically. Yeah, I genuinely remember crying and saying out loud, like, when will this end? Like, just end.
Oh. When you're in those situations, you're just like, oh, you know, it would just be less cruel to just kill me now.
Yeah, honestly.
Than to have to endure any more of this.
Girls, is it too late for like a bit of a disclaimer that if you are squeamish, this is not the episode for you? I think we might have left this a bit late, but
it's a little bit late.
I was just thinking, like, I feel a bit ill. Like, it's just gross.
Yeah, I feel a little bit ill.
But here we are. So
you wouldn't have clicked on the episode that was labeled shit if you didn't know what it was sort of in regards to. So you've got yourselves to blame here.
Unless you thought, because you know people say the word shit for everything. Oh, yeah, like travel and shit.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, well.
Not travel and shit.
Yeah, they're in for a rude awakening slash have already probably had a rude awakening.
We've got some crackers this week, though. We've got our old mate Joel. He's back at it again with his old tricks.
Love Joel.
Yeah, in Turkey this time. And what else do we have?
We've got another Michael. Japan blowout. We've got another Japan blowout.
Oh, all right, let's do it, shall we?
Story. You. Let's go.
Meet Joel. You might remember him from his plane tattoo in Bangkok or that time he got held up twice in one night in Cape Town. He's back at it again, this time in Gallipoli, Turkey. His experience at the Anzac Dawn service was rudely interrupted by his bows, and this is his story. Hi, Joel. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, living the dream, mate. Living the dream. Thank you so much for coming on One Night in Bangkok. Now, I hear that you have another story.
Correct. Yeah.
Set the scene there. Where were you and how did you come to be there?
Okay. So, massive bucket list item for me was to do the Anzac Day Dawn service at Gallipoli. So we went over, it would have been Anzac Day 2013. A group of us went over and we did a top deck tour. So all around Turkey, you know, did everything from, we went down to like Fethiye, we did like Pumbakali, we did, went to Troy, which is the most overrated tourist attraction I've ever been to.
Oh, agreed! Oh, yes! My God. Okay, let's get one thing straight. Turkey is incredible.
Yeah, 100%.
Troy?
Horrific.
No. Skip it.
They're like, maybe this is where it was. We're not 100% sure, but like, stare at this rock, like, and it's cool. And I'm like,
we don't know for sure, but perhaps this is the area that maybe something happened.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. Miss that. Anyway, we got to Gallipoli. So I'm not sure if anyone's done like Anzac Day there before. I actually went back a few years ago, not on Anzac Day, and we just did like a trip down to Gallipoli to see. And it's very different how it's set up, but you need to sort of get in to the line essentially to get into Anzac Cove. So I must have got there in the afternoon the day before. So it would be the 24th of April. Would have been maybe like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We get there and all there's two entrances from both sides. And they're just all lined up with coaches and cars because, you know, a lot of tour groups go there and everyone's just sort of waiting for the gates to open. So you spend a lot of time just hanging out by the beach waiting to get in. Anyway, we were there and I was like, oh, started getting like a real, like, started just feeling like big, like crook guts. And I was like, oh, maybe it's because we, the few nights before.
Every good story starts with, oh, yeah. I'm the feeling of.
Exactly. Every good story starts like this. And I just thought maybe it was a few nights before we'd been in this town called like Kushadasi and they had a really, really fun nightlife. So we'd been out a couple of times the few nights before and I distinctly remember one of them must have been a really big night. So I remember waking up in the hotel and I'd wet the bed and I was like, oh, Joel, obviously it must have been a really, really big night. But like it was today, we're checking out. So anyway. Fast forward to lining up at Anzac Cove and we're lining up and I was like, oh, like I just feel a bit sick. And anyway, we're kicking the footy and we're waiting to go in. And then fast forward to that night, they open the gates and everyone sort of rushes in. You throw your sleeping bags out and you get sort of set for the night. Anyway, they only had like port-a-loo set up and I was like, started feeling really sick. And I was like, oh, and like, I think I just need to go. I think I maybe just needed a big poo. So, and I went to the port-a-loos and look, it definitely wasn't a poo. It was probably, I don't even describe it, I was weeing out of my bum. So in this corner, and I was just like, oh, God, I just started feeling so sick and having these, like, real intense, like, stomach cramps. Anyway, then I have to go back and then sit with, like, all my friends. And all through the night they have, like, movies playing, like, you know, not like, you know, like Bridesmaids, but, like, movies of, like, the war. And they've got, like, fucking bands playing like 3 o'clock in the morning. I just start, you know, smashing cymbals together. And so it's really hard to get a good night's sleep. And anyway, I was lying there and I was just shivering, like just could not get warm. And it was pretty cold anyway, but this is ridiculous. I had this really bad backache. I was just shivering. I felt sick. I kept having to go to the toilet. I was just pissing out of my ass. And I was like, this is horrific. Anyway, I'm like, just get through the dawn service, like just get through. So anyway, we're standing there.
What time is it? How much longer do you have to get through?
Okay, so this is probably going from, I'm going to say maybe 8 or 9 p.m. to this stage where I'm feeling really bad. It's probably at 4 a.m. So it's just before.
And dawn service starts at what, 5-ish?
Yeah, 4:30, 5 o'clock. So Anyway, and I'm just like lying down. The only time I'd get up was to go to the toilet, which is once every 4 minutes, it felt like. And by this stage, like, you know, there was just no toilet paper left. So I'm just, you know, had nothing to try and, you know, wipe the pee from my bum off with. Like, it was just horrific. Anyway, we get to the dawn service and they start playing the national anthem. And I'm standing up for the national anthem. And then, like, I just start feeling so woozy. And I'm starting in, like, that tunnel vision. And I'm like, I'm going to pass out. So, like, I'm trying to get to, like, just you can't sit down doing the national anthem. Like, that's really, really bad. Got to the end of the national anthem. And I turned to Chris. I was like, I really think I need to go to the medical tent. And she's like, all right, cool, let's go. So we left all that stuff with our friends, went to this medical tent. And I was like, I feel really, really sick. Like, I can't stop shitting. And they're like, you know, lie down. They put me in this bed, put these blankets on me. And I was like, I finally started feeling better. I started to stop shaking. And I suppose, you know, silver lining, if you're going to get sick overseas in Turkey, the best place to get sick is at the dawn service because – there was that many, like, consular officials there. They were sending all these people in. Anyway, this Navy doctor came in and he's like, look, we need to put you on a drip. You're really, really dehydrated. So, you know, he puts me on a drip, put, like, a bag of saline through and he's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, still feel shit. Put another bag through. How are you feeling? Still feel shit. On my third bag, I was like, I still feel shit. Like, at this age, thank God I'd stopped pooing, but I just felt so sick. By this age, the dawn service had finished down like on the beach, and then you go up to all these other services. So you've got like the there's like a Kiwi service at this place called like Chinook Bear. Then there was like the Aussie service like up at Lone Pine, and I'm like, I really, really want to get to that. I'm like, all our friends have gone, but we had no phones or anything either. So I'm like, I can't tell them that we're still in the first aid tent. And they're like, well, what we can do is we can put you on like the disabled bus, like that we have like the and we can take you up to, there's another medic tent up near Lone Pine so you can listen to the service. I was like, oh, that'd be great. So anyway, they put me on the bus. I was at this age, I'm trying to think how old I would have been. I was maybe like 24, 23, 24, something like that. Get on the bus where I literally think half of these people actually experienced the Anzac Day landing themselves. So I'm on the bus with all these like old war veterans. Like I'm plugged into my IV. I've got my little IV bag with me and I'm toddling up the hill. In this little bus thing, and then they take me off the bus and they put me in this other tent. And then I'm like, my gut started like playing funny buggers again. I was like, oh, fuck, I need to shit again. I'm like, oh, I'm just so sick. Like every time I wipe, there's just blood. Like it's just a mess down there. So I was like, I need to go to the toilet. So then they're trying to walk me to the toilet and I'm like, I'm just trying so hard to not shit myself. And then, you know, like you try not to fart, but then I'm like, oh my God, like every time I move, I'm like, I feel like my bowels are opening and I can feel it on my undies. Like I'm like, cool, I've shit myself now. Like this is just horrific. Then anyway, get to the toilet, try to clean myself up as much as possible, threw the undies away, I put the shorts back on. They're stained. Like anyway, walk out again, back to the tent and I'm lying there. They put another IV through and I was like, they're like, how are you feeling? I'm like, I still feel shit. And they're like, look, we think the best thing is you'll probably have to go to hospital. And I was like, okay, cool, no worries. So they call an ambulance. I'm lying in this tent and they put me on a stretcher. They wheel me into the back of the ambulance. The way that like Lone Pine set up for the service as well, it's sort of like three grandstands around like the Lone Pine tree and they have a stage set up. Anyway, they put me in the back of the ambulance and the doors are open just as the service finishes. So I'm lying there with my shit-stained shorts on with just thousands of people streaming out of the service just staring at me. I'm just lying there with IV, like just looking like an absolute hot mess. Anyway, finally they close the doors, take me down to hospital and drive down this hill. Like they haven't even strapped me into the gurney at this stage. I'm just flying around. Chris is in there with me. I have no idea where we're going, but the good thing was they had a translator. They, like the consulate, sent a translator with me and a Navy doctor. So they both came with me in the ambulance. There's them in the ambulance, me flapping around on the bed and Chris in the seat. Anyway, we get to the hospital and it honestly looked like we're in this town called Kanakali, which is where the hospital was. And it honestly looked like something from Hostel. Like it was just this dilapidated building and I was just like, oh my God, like what is going to happen to me? Anyway, they get me in. This doctor comes in, doesn't speak a word of English. Obviously, don't speak a word of Turkish. So that's why I'm like, if you're going to get sick, thank God it was there where I had a translator. So anyway, they end up, I got diagnosed with like just really bad. It was just gastroenteritis. So
it sounds horrendous.
It was horrific. Like, you know, we've all had gastro before, but this was just, I honestly thought at times that I'm like, I've pooed out my intestine. Like, it's just, oh, it was horrific. Anyway, they start giving me all these meds and I'm like lying there. And every time I had to go to the toilet at the hospital, they only had a squat toilet. So I'm having to like squat on this toilet. And that's why I think like I'm prolapsing. Like, it's just, oh, it was just horrific. And then I'm like, I'm pooing blood at this stage. Like, I was just like, I think I'm going to die. Anyway, we're there for a few hours. So by this stage we get there, it's probably midday. They keep me there to that night. They're like, we really want you to stay overnight. And I was like, I really don't want to stay overnight. I'm like, I really just want to go back to Istanbul, back to my hotel. Like, I just don't want to be here anymore. So they're like, no worries, we just need you to sort out the bill for the hospital.
Hashtag travel insurance or?
Hashtag travel insurance. As you know, the good traveler I am, I absolutely have my travel insurance. But I'm like, I never called them at this stage. I'm like, I didn't know if it was something that I paid and they reimbursed me. But at this age, I just said to Chris, she's like, you know, they were like, you need to drink X amount of water and you need to buy all these medications. So Chris, you go with them, go to the pharmacy, and that's where you pay your bill for the hospital. So I was like, oh God. So she's got her debit card. I've given her my debit card. I gave her like my Australian credit card. I'm like, just take everything. Like, we'll just claim it all back for insurance. Thinking, I'm like, I have no idea how much this is going to cost. So anyway, she comes back with this ginormous bag of medication, which actually fast forward, I ended up stopped taking when I got back to London because I had this metallic taste in my mouth all the time and I couldn't stop crying. This really weird, like, had the most weird effect on my mental health. Like, I literally couldn't stop crying and I could only taste metal. So I just stopped taking it. But this giant bag of medication, and she comes in and I'm like, how much was the bill? And she's like, it was $11.
Oh,
the hospital, all my medication, the ambulance, $11. And the best part about it was, I don't know who organized this, but they ended up, because I said we're on a top deck tour. So Chris had been like communicating with our friends who were then talking to our trip manager, but they ended up just putting me in this van and like raced me up the highway because our tour was on the way back to Istanbul. The tour was like sort of taking their time to wait for me, but this van just took me. The top deck coach, which had pulled over on the side of the road, I just jumped down and jumped on my top deck coach and went back to Istanbul where we had one night. And then the next day we had to fly back to London where I literally spent the whole flight in the toilet.
Oh my God. That's such a shame because I can only imagine dawn service at Gallipoli is such an incredible experience and all you could think about the whole time was your pets.
Exactly. Like, I don't even say that I've shit myself. Like, you know. Yeah, it definitely was an experience I thought it was going to be, but yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, my God. Joel, there's a question that we ask everyone at the end of their story. Looking back, what advice do you wish you could have given yourself in that situation?
Looking back now, the number one piece of advice I'd probably give myself would be take your own toilet paper because after probably the 127th wipe, it honestly started to feel like sandpaper on my butt.
Meet Michael. You might remember him from when the airport notice board told him to relax. This time, he takes us to Japan where he had one too many strong zeros. What happened next led to some very unimpressed locals. And this is his story. Hello, Michael. Welcome back to One Night in Bangkok. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Diva. How's it going, girl?
Oh, it's going swell. It's going swell, you know, just in a lockdown on the other side of the world. Couldn't get better, hey?
I want you to know that I know exactly how you feel. Like, people, like, throw that out, but, like, I know how you feel. It's rough. I'm praying for you, honestly.
Oh, thanks, doll. Well, we're not going to be talking about anything too morbid today. it's actually quite a funny story. So this is actually a story that I hold quite close to my heart because it involves both of us, actually, when we were
in Japan, right? It was my first time to Japan. It was your second?
Yeah. I was so excited to be back, and I was happy to be there with you. It was, everything was going so well.
So we started off in Tokyo, and then we were having a grand old time, and then we went through to Kyoto. And because I was the travel agent at the time, and I booked all these Airbnbs. Little did I realize that booking a cheap Airbnb means you're out in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, like, I don't want to say that, like, I could have done your job better, but I probably could have done your job a little bit better.
You could have done my job better. You definitely could have.
In retrospect, the bus ride that we took, hint, hint, for the story to come, I enjoyed it. I was glad that we got to kind of, like, travel through Kyoto. And, like, it was my favorite city in Japan that we went to. I thought it was, like, the most interesting, the most picturesque, and, like, I highly recommend Kyoto to anyone. If they're one city in Japan, definitely go to Kyoto.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very traditional, hey?
Yes, that's the word. I couldn't think of it, but yeah, that's the word, definitely.
Well, our story begins in Kyoto. So I remember you getting me hooked on these drinks called Strong Zeros.
Okay, so if you've ever gone to Japan, they also sell them in Melbourne at this Japanese market near the Queen Victoria Market. But it's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's lucrative. They're running a lucrative business there. But it's essentially... I actually don't know what's in it, which is... I should probably read the labels on it next time. But it's essentially like 9% alcohol in a can, and you can buy it for like 300 yen, which is like less than $3 at any 7-Eleven / Family Mart. Shout out Family Mart. I'm pretty sure, like, 7-Eleven, they're open 24 hours a day, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get your pikelets filled with maple syrup and get, like, a couple of Strong Zeros at 4 a.m. in the morning and, like, have the best time with it, truly. They're the best drinks. Best drinks.
Yeah, they were so good, and they just go down so well. Like, they had, like, the grapefruit flavour. Yeah. They were just bloody delicious.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I remember we were coming back from Osaka Aquarium. We came back on the train. We got a traveller, a Strong Zero, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, we get to Kyoto. We know that we have to get a bus ride to our Airbnb because we're not even near the city centre whatsoever. So we get another traveller.
Of course. Yeah, like, the bus ride is maybe 40 minutes. Like, it's a long bus ride. But in Japan, they have no drinking laws. The only thing is, like, you're going to get, like, a little giggle or, like, a little laugh at, like, these white people drinking alcohol because they can. But you can drink on the street. Like, it's great. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's so good.
Much to our detriment, but we were taking advantage of it, definitely.
Yeah, and we were living it, loving it.
Ready to party!
Yeah, so we had the traveller on the bus. We get to the Airbnb. There's a 7-Eleven on the corner of where our Airbnb is. So naturally, we get another Strong Zero because we've finished it while we're on the bus.
And, like, I kid the listeners not, these drinks are maybe, like, almost 3 standard drinks. Like, they're heavy duty. They're heavy duty. It's not like, oh, I'm sipping on a cruiser with my girls, like, in Williamstown Beach. Like, no, you're, like, getting lit on a bus in Kyoto, okay? Like, it's fucked. It's hectic.
By the time we got onto the bus to go back into the city centre, we were well and truly on our way. Like, we were being obnoxious on that bus. Oh. We were being so loud, and everyone was looking at us, and we were laughing, and
it's something to do with being in another country, I think. Like, you're literally just like, nobody, like, knows who I am. Like, I could literally just be as obnoxious as I want. And, like, retrospectively, like, these poor people were just trying to get home from work, surely.
And we were, I think, just, we provide a good entertainment for them, though.
Yeah, hopefully I like to think that, but who knows.
Yeah, I remember we went to that first bar, and what did we even drink there? I think we just got beer there. We just got...
Yeah, this was, like, the emancipation of Michael, like, starting to drink beer. Because, obviously, when you're in Japan, you want to drink Asahi and Sapporo. And we had gone to this gnarly bar the night before.
You had to get in an elevator to get there.
And it was, like, you could... It sat, like, maybe 4 people. Like, this is pre-COVID, okay? Like, it sat, like, 4 people. That's a full house, okay? But, yeah, we were just, like, smashing beers there. And, like, I think, like, from that day on, I was like, the only drink that I'm going to drink in Japan, except for these Strong Zeros, is Sapporo beer. So I think we were probably just, like, downing some beers. The guy was...
He was gnarly.
So weird. Like, the toilet was next to the bar, behind a curtain. And every single time you'd go to the toilet, he'd be like, you want to take a piss? Like, it was so weird.
It's like, obviously.
I was like, can we just, like, move this along? Like, yes. But I was like, it was so weird. But
yeah, we were just sat in there playing Jenga and playing cards. Oh, and we were talking politics. And it got really heated.
We are two people that should not talk politics with each other. One, because we truly have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah. And two, we just love to fight. I feel like there was a couple of times each of us were like, we shouldn't be talking about this, but like we were lit. We were like, in Japan.
You kept trying to shut it down. And I was like, no, you need to listen to me. And then when I look back at that conversation, I'm like, shut the fuck up, MJ. Like, you honestly don't. You've got no idea. Like, why are you so opinionated about this? We ended up leaving and we were wasted by this point. I remember, like, you could smoke in that bar too. So we were just darting.
Japan's the best.
Yeah, I remember leaving and because we were going to catch the last bus home because taxis are so expensive in Japan.
Mm.
And we're just like, nah, we ain't about that life. We're poor. Let's get on the bus. So we're going to get the last bus back to the Airbnb.
Our favorite bus.
Yes, our favorite bus. And we are walking down the street to go to the bus stop. And there was this bar that we passed and it just looked like it was happening. I just remember like shishas being in there, like good music, lots of people, bit of a dance floor. I was like, this seems like a vibe.
I'm already walking inside probably. I'm like, woohoo, let's go inside, babe.
Yeah, so we go inside. We have... I think we ended up talking with people that lived in the city that you live in, actually, in the town that you live in. And, we were just having a grand old time, smoking the shisha with them. And I just remember you coming up to me and you're like, MJ, we got to go. And I was like, why? I'm like, I'm having such a good time. Like, why do we have to go? And you're like, oh, I don't feel well. I really don't feel well. And I was just like, oh, my God, like, go suck have a tactical up. Vom and you'll be fine. Like, suck it up, bitch.
And I respect, like, absolutely. I wouldn't have wanted to leave either. But, it just got to a point where... We were talking to these people and, like, couldn't tell you a single thing that I was saying. And, like, I kept on... You know when you're, like, eyeing the toilet? You're like, where are the nearest exits? Like, what aisle, what aisle seat am I in? Like, where am I supposed to be going? And I was like, look, I should probably... I'm feeling so ill. Like, we've just been drinking nonstop for, like, hours at this point. I'm either going to spew everywhere or, you know, retreat to the bathroom and, like, do a tacti. So, I went and found the bathroom and I was waiting in line and I was swaying back and forth. It all of a sudden all hit me and I was like, this is the best decision I could possibly be making right now. It's not even a tactical at this point. Like, it's just full on. I need to vomit this very second. Like, any statistics, any like tactical, like moves have gone out the window. Like, I need to get myself to a bathroom right now because I will be sick all over this beautiful bar in Kyoto. And I was just waiting there. And this woman was looking at me and she's like, I ain't moving, babe. And I was like, respect.
Respect the line.
Respect the line. Yeah, I'm not a cutter. Like, I feel like that type of stuff comes back for you. So I was like, look, you were here first. It's not your fault that I decided to get lit on strong zeros all afternoon. Like, I will wait my turn like anybody else. I said that, but my body was thinking completely differently. It was like, you need to vomit right now. I don't care where you are. You need to find the safest spot possible. I knew that MJ didn't want to leave, so I had to make sure that, like, whatever happened under the, like, the blackness of night and we could just move it along. So I was looking around. I had maybe seconds before I vomited all, like... I don't know if you know this, but, like, it was literally, I was like, could not wait. I truly could not wait. But thankfully, at first I thought thankfully that all of the tables, because you can smoke inside, all of the tables in the center of them, they had carved out a bit of wood that you could ash into. It was like an ashtray. So all of it was
kind of like a dip in the table almost.
Yeah. No bigger than a regular ashtray, except instead of it going like above the table, it was like built into the table. And I was like, perfect. That is my spot. Like, all eyes on the prize. So I just like mosey over there, like find like the dingiest little corner, bend over it, cut my hands over my mouth, over the ashtray, and just start vomiting wildly. Wildly. It was fucked, okay?
You were bound to have some splashback from that.
Truly, yeah. I was like, I don't know what I thought that I was, like, going to be able to accomplish with, like, me funneling it in. But, like, it went all over my hands to begin with. Like number one, it went everywhere. But I thought in my beautiful, like, frame of mind, I was like, I have just completed what truly should not be able to be done. And I have just gotten all of my vomit perfectly into this little ashtray. And then I can move on with my life.
So then you come back over to me, but at this point, I think you've realized that maybe it didn't come off as perfectly as you had planned, because okay. You walk over to me and you've got your arms crossed and you're like, MJ, we really have to go now. And I was like, why, what's wrong? And then you just opened your arms and there was vomit all down the front of you.
I think there's a moment.
And you had it on your knee of your pants.
Can I say, MJ, I think there may be a part of this story that I've never told you. It's the puzzle piece that joins from me vomiting at the table to me coming to you. Okay,
fill in the gaps.
This is new information that at the time I don't think I thought was, like, as important, obviously, because I didn't really, like... Well, I didn't have to tell you the story because you were right there with me, so, like, you kind of lived it with me. But I remember the beautiful lady that was in front of me in the line, she had finished with the toilet, and I was like, I'm going to go and gather myself in the toilet just for a second. So after vomiting perfectly... In my opinion, I went to the toilet, sat down, and I was just, like, swaying, you know, like, that drunk, like, I am, the whole world is moving right now, it's just, like, the worst possible spot, like, the walls are closing in on me, and I'm like, oh, I feel so ill, like, that was not a tactical, like, that was not good, I was like, I do not feel better from that, and then I remember there was a knock on, like, the door, like, a bang, 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 and I was like, oh, no, I've been even too long. Like, there were people waiting to get into this only toilet in this bar. Like, I have to leave. I don't want to leave. I was, like, safe and secure in this little cubicle. But I was like, oh, fuck. Okay, and then I leave, and then there was a security guard waiting out the front. He didn't say anything at the time. I remember, like, looking down and seeing all the vomit all over me at that point. Like, it hasn't gone off without a hitch. Like, I've truly just, like, made a big old mess of it. But this is where the story rejoins itself, MJ.
Yeah. You come over and you've got the vomit all down. You bought that top that day as well in Osaka.
Don't remind me. I don't think I've ever worn that shirt ever again. Truly, it's got bad vibes.
Bad memories. No, yeah. But yeah, you had the vomit all down the front of you, vomit on your knee, and I was like, oh my God, all right, yep, we'll go. Yep, that's enough, like, for me to be like, okay, we need to go. Yeah. And then the security guard reemerges and taps you on the shoulder and was just like, come with me. And then you just looked at me and you're like, well, I have to go.
He tapped on my shoulder and then he pointed at all the vomit and I literally just go, yeah, fair play, man. I have to leave. I was like, you got me. I was like, I'm too drunk to charm my way out of this. Like, this is, I was like, I would absolutely kick me out of this fucking bar right now. So... couldn't remember the names of those people that we met, but, like, it was lovely meeting those guys. Like, I'll see you around Mooney Ponds, I guess. But, I literally was just like, sayonara, like, gotta go.
I can't believe the security guard actually, like, walked you over to the table, pointed at the spew and was like, did you do this?
It was
like, yep, I did. Like, truly, there's no getting out of it at this point.
It's like a dog that's, like, peed on the carpet and, like, the owner just, like, shows them. They're like, that's what you did. I was like, yeah, bitch. I was like, they're ain't getting out of this. It's literally all over my shirt. Like, you can DNA test this. Like, it's a match. Like, that is my vomit. I was like, I've got to go.
But then the story continues because we'd obviously had too much fun in that bar. We're having a really good time. We've missed the last bus. So we had to get a taxi back to the Airbnb. So we hail this taxi. I'm equally as drunk as you. I haven't spewed yet, but I was just looking out the window, just dazed and confused. And then I look over at you and it looks like you've just vomited in your mouth. Yeah. And you look like a chipmunk almost, like your cheeks are puffed out.
Storing all of you my nuts.
You literally can't talk and you're just looking at me with wild eyes like, help, like I can't even say that I've got vomit in my mouth. Someone do something. And I was just like, oh my God, sorry, sir, please stop. Japan, they always try to open the door for you and close the door when you're getting in and out of the cab. So he stops the car. He gets out to go and open the door. Michael, you didn't even give it a chance. You just swung that door open.
I'm like pulling this fucking door open.
Swung the door open. Burst out of the taxi and just started projectile vomiting on the ground. And like Japan, they're quite modest. So, I mean, you wouldn't really want to do that in Japan, especially in Kyoto because it's quite traditional. That happens. You're out there for like 2 or 3 minutes doing this projectile vomit. I'm just sitting in the car like, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. You get back into the cab and you're like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Okay. I don't say I'm so sorry. Okay. I have transcended the English language and all I can say to this taxi driver is gomenasai, gomenasai, gomenasai.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Gomenasai,
all of a sudden I could speak fluent Japanese and I was like, gomenasai, gomenasai, gomenasai.
Like, and then like you get back in the cab and the driver wasn't driving anywhere. And then you're like, gomenasai, please take us to our Airbnb. Please, like, we're really sorry. And he's like, yeah, we're sorry. Please take us. And then he's like, no, you're at your Airbnb. And we're like, what? And then we like look out the window. We look around and our Airbnb's across the road.
We're like, oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great.
And then we get back into the Airbnb. We get into the room. Oh my God, this is so funny. We get back into the room and I went to the bathroom and I come out. Michael, you've just stripped off. You've got just in your underwear. You're laying there on the bed with your eyes rolling in the back of your head, sweating profusely. And you're like, oh, I really don't feel well. And then you've got the bin like right next to you and you just like roll your head over to the bin and like wouldn't even move any part of your body except for your head. And you were just like, into the bin. I'm like, do you want some water, doll? And you're like, yes, I need water. So then I fill up this massive, like, 1 litre bottle of water for you and I give it to you and I'm like, so the cap's not on, okay? And you're like, okay. You grab the bottle and you just throw it, like, behind you on the bed and the water just starts pouring out onto the bed all around you and you're like, oh, that kind of feels nice. It's cold. And I'm like, oh, my God, Michael. And I'm, like, got a towel and I'm, like, putting a towel under you trying to dry you and you're just, like, there with your eyes, like, literally rolling in the back of your head. Oh, my God. It was actually unbelievable.
Yeah, it was fucked. Honestly, that was one of the worst nights ever. But also one of the best, truly. But
fuck. But we got this amazing story from it that I hold very close to me.
My favorite part is the next day we were both so hungover and went to Hiroshima. Went to Hiroshima and we sobbed the entire day. We were just crying to each other because we were so hungover and like reading obviously about Hiroshima, which is like so sad. But truly, we were both inconsolable at this point. We were too much.
I know. And like we'd read something, we'd start crying. Then we'd like walk a little bit further and we kind of like get our shit together. We'd stop crying. We'd, you know, onwards and upwards. And then we'd go to the next section and we'd read something and then it would just be back to square one again.
Gosh, what a funny, funny night. That was nuts.
We
were pretty good for, like, obviously we went like bars every night. We were drinking a lot. I don't know what it was about this one night. Like, literally, we just were like, let's get fucked.
It was the strong zeros. I'm sorry. It was the strong zeros. We had so many. I reckon we either had four or five that day before we even started drinking the beers. And at that first bar, we had probably like 5 or 6 long necks. And then we went and had another 2 to 3 beers at the other bar. So it was bound to happen. Come on.
It was fucked. Okay. So like, you know how you like drink too much of a certain spirit? For me, it's Midori. I got fucked up at a Coburg Park once and I can never drink Midori again. You'd think with strong zeros, I'd be like, can never drink them again. But no, if you were to put a strong zero in front of me any day, I'd be like, round two, boys, let's do this. Okay. Yeah, let's do it. They have a hold over me. I love strong zeros.
Same. I'm hanging for one, actually.
Yeah. Me, you, Japan, babe. Let's do it again.
Oh, so Michael, thank you so much for sharing your story. But as you know, because you've been on before, looking back, mm-hmm. What advice do you wish you could have given yourself in that situation?
My only advice is take a vomit earlier, okay? Take the tactical when it's actually a tactical and, like, don't wait till you get to the point where you're literally about to vomit into an ashtray, okay? Because it's not fun. But other than that, great night. Would do it again in a heartbeat, honestly.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of One Night in Bangkok. If you have a crazy travel story,
tell us about it. You can send us an email, tellus@onenightinbkk.com, or hit us up on Instagram @onenightinbkkpodcast.
This podcast was born from our shared love of travel and everything it adds to our lives.
Until next time, we'll leave you with a snippet of how travel has changed you.
But the thing that always got me was how poor people could be and how much they could give. They'd have nothing and they're making a dollar a week and they're trying to give you a free meal.